All right, go to Hebrews chapter 11. All right, let's read chapter 11, verse 4. Now the Bible says here, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Boy, that's a rich verse for you. Enough preaching in that to last for a good long while. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. I remember when we were back in Genesis preaching about Cain, and you know, I don't know how long, we were 3 years and something in there, and there's a few messages that really, though, stand out to me, and that was one of them, the way of Cain. Remember how Cain ended? Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, nowhere. A wanderer, a vagabond, no home, no place. He went from having God, went out from the presence of God to nowhere. That's where everybody goes that leaves the presence of God. That's where they get, ain't nowhere else to go. Nowhere. But we're going to look at here this morning Abel's sacrifice and the difference between the two. Because we're talking about faith. That's what this chapter is about. And so we got to realize that the first two words in this verse, as well as most of the other verses down through here, begin with by faith. By faith, Abel offered. So that's how he did it. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the good news about Miss Alcorn. I'm glad she's out of here. And that she's free from that body that had failed her after so many years. Thank you for her testimony. Thank you for her sweet spirit that we knew and know. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless the word of God now to our hearts and minds. Help us, Lord, to understand this. And help me to be able to say it in a way that's right and that it's understandable. And that it'll get the message across, the basic thought of the message, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, hang on a minute there. Get myself collected. All right. In verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So without faith, it's impossible to please God. Abel pleased God. Cain did not please God. Abel came by faith. Cain came of his own accord. Here's the way it was. This example of faith here is given to show us the difference between those who come to God by faith and those who try to come of their own merit. Now, let me read you the account of this back in Genesis chapter 4, verses 3, 4, and 5. It says this, "And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." And then the rest of the story is, you know, what happened. I mean, God tried to reason with Cain, tried to warn him about what was going to happen if he didn't do well, that it was going to be the end of him. But if he would just do well, he could be accepted as well as Abel. But he wouldn't. And he killed his brother. And he ended up doing what I just mentioned a while ago. He went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod. Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God because he offered it in faith. Please listen to me. Don't get lost in the introduction here. Cain's sacrifice was not offered in faith, but in pride and selfishness. These are the two clear roads that you see all the way through the Bible. You can go to the New Testament and there it is as plain as day. The rich young ruler coming to Jesus saying, What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? That's Cain. That's the way of Cain. Well, here I am, God. What can I do for you? Ain't it a blessing that I'm willing to help you out here? And willing to come on board. I'm willing to be religious. Yeah. That's the way of Cain. Abel did not come that way. Abel came to God as a beggar. And Cain came to God as a rich, self-made man, trying to impress God with his skill and his success, and by God's favor with his gifts. A lot of people do that, you know. It's the same difference we see in the Gospels between those who came to know Jesus. I made mention here a week or two ago about the different people that came to Jesus as he walked about, and how some of them came like the rich young ruler, like the Pharisees, like the scribes, and those. But then there were the lepers and the blind and the publicans. Some of them came to Jesus crying and begging and casting themselves on his mercy. What happened with those folks? How many of them did he turn away? None. But then there were those who came with their questions and their pride, wanting to know what they could do to inherit eternal life, or some question about what was right and wrong. And what happened to them? When they knew what was right and they knew what was wrong, but they were trying to argue with Jesus, they were trying to confound Jesus, well, they got rejected. Just like Cain and Abel did. Same deal, same reason, same methods. It's the same thing. And churches are full of people who still come to God. Try to, by the way, of Cain. It is the devil's deal, buddy. I mean, he tricks your mind, he traps you, he lies to you, he guides you and trips you around until you try to come the way of Cain instead of the way of Abel. Now, Abel, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. It is by faith. He trusted God. And not only trusted God, but he believed God. He didn't come of his own thoughts and accords and opinions, Gary. You know, Lester Roloff said, opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got two of them and they both stink. I know that's a little crude, but Lester Roloff said it. I didn't say it. True, opinions are worthless. True saving faith in God is found in a truly humble soul who's come to himself and realized the true condition of his soul in the sight of God. Are you listening to what I said right there? True saving faith, the way Abel came, that is saving faith. The way Cain came is not saving faith. Why do you see so many people in churches and everywhere else all their life thinking, professing, saying they're saved and trying to believe, trying to make themselves believe it and trying to have peace when they have no peace? Why do you think that is? How can people sit in church week after week after week and never find the way? Well, all you got to do is go to some churches just a little bit and you'll figure it out. Nobody's challenging them and nobody's preaching anything. That's right. Except this same old pablum and garbage that they just keep on preaching. Mm-hmm. Right. That is powerless. That's right. And it's false. And it's, at the very best, it's incomplete. Yes, and it doesn't get the message across. People are living on emotions and everything else, and that's the way the gospel's being preached, and they're trying to get people saved through dealing with their emotions and stirring their emotions. And those who came crying and begging, they found acceptance. Those who came in their pride, you know, and their contempt for God, did not. They were rejected. The true saving faith in God is found when a person is lost and helpless and has nothing to offer God. Until you get to that place, you're still in the way of Cain. You hear me? Until you get to the place where nothing in my hands I bring.
Yes, sir.
Only to thy cross I cling. I mean, really? People will say that and agree with it, but then they still do it. It's one of the hardest obstacles that I've found in dealing with people that are even seeking God. They can't get around that. What must I do? We used to hand out tracts. What must I do to be saved? You'll still find them. Still tracts with that on it. What must I do to be saved? It's in the Bible, Acts chapter 16. What was the answer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Well, you know, the easy believism people, they take that and run with it. And again, it's just another trick of the devil. But I'm telling you, that's first base. You got to believe. You got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it has to be by faith or it's not acceptable. Anything that you put with it, it makes it unacceptable. That's of our own hands, of our own skill, of our own success, of our own understanding. You got to put your trust in Christ, not in your faith. Not even in your faith. You put your trust in Christ, not in you. Not in even your believing. You put your trust in Him. And you can't miss it that way. But you can any other way. The problem, you know, that the saving faith in a person is when he realizes that the problem between him and God is what he's clinging to, not what he's willing to give as a token gift. Why'd that rich young ruler go away sorrowful? Because he had many possessions. He was rich. He went away sorrowful because of what he was holding on to, not because of what he was willing to give or do. Why, he would have probably given a good gift, a good offering. And everybody at church would have said, oh, bless you, brother. Thank you. Won't you be a part of our church and come all the time? We could really use you. God could really use you here. I remember the preacher telling me one time about running a guy off. He was a rich guy and he had some relatives in the church, but he'd come around and that's what his game was, you know. And he told the preacher that, you know, I could really be a help to this church, you know. And he just told him to get. We don't need that. God don't need the devil's money. I heard the preacher say one time, I'll take it anytime. But I heard that. Yes, he did. He said, I'll take the devil's money anytime. God don't need the devil's money. And when you allow that, then you're aiding and abetting the devil in sending and damning a soul to hell. That's what you're doing. Because they're trying to come the way of Cain. And if you don't stop them and say, you can't come that way. No, I'm not going to help you come that way. Then you're aiding the devil. He's got to abandon the right to himself and submit himself to God. Lock, stock, and barrel. Saving faith is not going to be found in anybody that has not got to that place right there.
That's right. Yep.
You got to give up yourself. All of it. He must die to himself in order to live. Jesus said, if you lose your life, you'll find it. If you keep it, you'll lose it. And that's just the way it is. It's the way the thing works. You got to die to live. The way of Cain is to come to God in your own way, in a carnal and selfish mind, with self as the object in view and not God. And that's the problem I've got with the way the modern gospel's always preached to everybody and the way they show it in these Christian movies and everything else. It is about the object is me, not God. It's all about me or another person who's the Savior in place of Jesus.
Yes.
Because of their testimony, because of what God's done in their life and all of this, and everybody wants to be like them.
Yeah.
It's blasphemy.
Yeah.
And Jesus isn't mentioned. The problem between the sinner and God is not mentioned. It's not dealt with at all. It's all about emotions and feelings and tears. And oh, and everybody just falls in line with it and misses the whole thing.
Yeah.
Not saving faith. It's to make myself the Savior, the way of Cain is. It's to make myself the Savior by doing something or giving something to atone for my sin and purchase God's favor or appease His displeasure. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. What did it cost him? He died. He had the testimony of God that he was righteous and his brother was wicked. But who died? Abel. Was he sincere? Obviously. Think he didn't know his brother? You think Cain didn't know his brother? I mean, Abel didn't know Cain, his brother? What he was capable of? Yeah. Knew how he felt. Knew his opinions. Knew what he thought of God and religion and everything else and sacrifice. Sure he did. But he did it anyway. And he did it with the full knowledge of Cain. I mean, this was all out in the open. God testified of Abel that he was righteous. Jude, verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. So they've gone into the way of Cain. Woe unto them. So after coming to God in faith with an acceptable sacrifice, that's not the end of it. We must continue to walk with God by faith. The just shall walk by faith, not by sight. Yep. Over and over, the Bible tells us that. We live by faith. I mean, that's this chapter. By faith, by faith, by faith. Over and over, you read it in here. Well, isn't it interesting here how this works here? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. By faith, Enoch, that's the next verse, was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's a continual thing. He didn't please God with a sacrifice. He pleased God with his life, his walk. He walked with God. And he had that testimony before he was translated. While he was having children and living his life on this wicked earth, he had this testimony. He pleased God. It's interesting that the narrative skips from Abel to Enoch. You know, there were other people living there. Enoch's the seventh from Adam. So there were a bunch of other people in there. We know that when Seth was born, not him, Adam's son Seth, was born, men began to call upon the name of the Lord in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26. What the Bible says. So then there had to be others who came to God by faith during that time, but it skips from Abel to Enoch to give us an example of not only coming to God by faith, but living for God by faith. If you go down through, there's just a lot more than just a bunch of just random examples of people that lived in the ages. There's an order to this. Always in God's Word, there's an order. And there's more than meets the eye. Why did he skip from Abel to Enoch? To show you that living by faith is also a part of the whole thing. Not just getting saved by faith, by faith, making that sacrifice, but where did Enoch go when he was translated from where to where? From here to the presence of God. How'd that happen? Because he lived by faith. That's what it says. Living by faith is walking with God and trusting Him in everything as a child trusts and relies on its parents. Living by faith is the same as being saved by grace through faith. See? It's faith that gets you into the grace of God. No grace, no faith. That's the way it is. See, a person that has no grace of God, no influence of God on their life, no help in time of trouble, no comfort, none of that, it's because they have no faith. Now they may say, I believe God, I believe, but they don't. They believe like Cain believed.
Yep. That's right.
Cain believed enough to come and offer a sacrifice, but it's the attitude of the heart. Right. It's who's on the throne. It's the real desire there. Cain wanted to impress God. Cain wanted to, you know, and I've seen this so many times through my life. I've thought about this for years and years, you know. Maybe I shouldn't say things like this, but I remember when we started going to Mexico on those trips and stuff, and then the first time it was just three of us, and the next time it was a bunch of people, and then it got to be an every year thing, and people started going down there, and I remember one guy. He went down there, and he was just thoroughly taken with it all. And he came home, and the way he was talking, boy, he was going to just load up and go back down there. But when he got home, why, you know, I don't know who all talked to him, his wife, his parents, I don't know. But anyway, all of a sudden he had a change of heart. He decided that the best way he could serve God would be to stay here and make lots of money and give to missionaries. What did I tell you then? I told you that's the way of Cain.
Yeah. I told
you. Oh, did you? Was that Sunday school?
No,
okay. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, that's just not the way it is, folks. What are we going to give God? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It all belongs to Him. What are we going to give Him? How are we going to increase Him at all? We're not. And we can't come to God with any kind of attitude like that. Genesis 5, verse 22 through 24, it says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." 300 years he lived a life. He walked with God in this ungodly and sinful world. Enoch did. "And all the days of Noah were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Do you understand that Enoch lived in a world just like we live in? It's been the same old wicked world all the way through. "And he walked with God and had sons and daughters, and he walked by faith. And he maintained, he had the testimony that he pleased God." Well, I just wonder, do we, you know, what do people think about me? Do people think, is that my testimony? That I please God? Or myself? Do you please yourself or you please God? A lot of people can't tell the difference. Did you ever hear, did you ever read any of the messages that Enoch preached? Huh? Well, and we got a little bit one here. The book of Jude in the New Testament gives us a little window into what Enoch was like in that world before the flood by giving us an excerpt from one of his sermons in Jude 14 and 15. "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." That's Enoch. That's the kind of attitude you'll have if you're walking with God.
That's right.
Yeah. Contempt. Yeah. For the ungodly. Who hate your God. Who do everything against God. Well, God liked that. It pleased God that Enoch had that kind of an attitude about the world that he lived in.
Yes, sir.
So you can't ever win nobody like that. That's the only way you're going to ever win anybody.
Amen.
To God is to be on God's side.
Yes, sir.
And not be on their side while they're striving against and hating and making war against God. Amen.
Amen.
You're going to have to choose who is on the Lord's side. Just like Joshua said, we're not taking another step. This is the end of the line until we decide who's who. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Now, if you're going to serve the gods that's on the other side of the river, go on and do it. But if you're going to serve God, just step over here. We're going to find out who is on the Lord's side.
Yes,
well, that's just the way it is.
Yes,
you got to decide. That's what happened when Abel came with his sacrifice and Cain came with his. That was the deciding day right there. Abel cast it all in. Cain didn't. Nope. Cain was just looking to improve himself. It was all about Cain and what Cain had done and Cain's skill and his success and his riches and his wisdom and how good he was at what he did. And that's supposed to impress God. It impresses a lot of preachers and a lot of Christians, so-called, nowadays. That's what they base everything on. Success. And success is riches and numbers and all of that. And just a life of ease. That's a blessing of God, just to be able to have life easy. That's just a blessing of God. I mean, if your life's hard, it's a sign that God ain't with you. Something wrong with you. If you're having a hard time, you must not be pleasing God. Tell that to Abel. As Cain killed him.
Yes, sir.
Enoch had this testimony before he was translated. Enoch lived for God, and his life was all about believing and trusting in God. And therefore, he had hope for eternity. And that's how come he could preach like that, what we just read in Jude there. Gary's been in Psalm 15 this month in Sunday school. Psalm 24 is just almost parallel to it. It doesn't go through and name all those things you've been talking about. But it starts out like this. Who shall, in verse 3 through 5, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Well, now, Enoch was translated. All right. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity, unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. All the saints mentioned in Hebrews 11 didn't simply do one thing in faith that sufficed for the rest of their life. And that's what modern Baptists and everybody else, this same across the board. That's what they all... That's the gospel as far as they're concerned. If I can just pressure you somehow into praying a sinner's prayer and then baptizing you, good. You're good. You've done what the Lord commanded. I dare you, read all of this chapter and show me that there. Show me where that's at there. All of these... lived their life. They didn't just do one thing. They lived their life by faith and walked in faith after they first believed. Now, there was a moment when they did first believe. You come to God by faith, in faith. And you trust Him, believing to be saved. Yes, but that's just the beginning. That's the new birth. There's life after birth.
Yes, sir.
Everybody's worried about life after death. What about life after birth? Hebrews 11:13 says, these all died in faith. They lived in faith. They were born through faith. They lived in faith and they died in faith. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They staked all they had on the things they could not see, but that they knew God had promised. They staked their life on it. They lived for eternity, not for here and now. They confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers on the earth. Don't belong here. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on earth. We're to set our affections on things above, not on things below. That's living by faith.
Yes,
that's believing God. Living, believing God. You see, when you come to God, it has to be all about God,
right,
not all about me.
Exactly. Yes,
I've blown it. I'm a sinner. I've ruined everything. I have nothing to offer God that He would want. Nothing that I can do for Him to appease His wrath. I have no way to atone. And that's why, you know, that all this stuff about paying for sin and buying your way out of it, you know, that just don't... That's not in the Bible in the first place. You know, sin cannot be undone. Once it's done, it's done. You can't murder somebody and say, well, I'm sorry, and they just pop right back up and all's good.
It's never just as if I'd never sinned, like you've heard so many times. Never, never, never. Can't be that way. Sin is a permanent thing. And the only cure, the only way out of it, is that God would forgive me. Because, do you realize what it cost for God to be able to forgive me? It cost His death. It cost His life. That's what my sin cost. He didn't pay for it. He took my place.
Yes. That's right.
The only purchase that the Bible talks about is that He bought me.
Yes.
With His life. He redeemed me. He redeemed my life with His life.
Yes.
And the gospel is presented nowadays as a financial transaction. That's all it is. You owed a debt. He paid your debt. Now you're free from your debt, but not unless you believe, because then, but it, you know, and so that's where universalism and everything else come in. I mean, if Jesus paid for it, it's paid for it. It ain't just of God to charge double charge on it. That's not the way it is. You cast yourself on the mercy of God and ask for forgiveness. And He'll do it based on His Son, who died in our place and rose from the dead that we might live. He conquered death for every man. He abolished death. That's what He did. Why was so many wonderful things to talk about and preach about and ways to understand this? Do we descend down towards a stock market deal? And people die and go to hell because they never hear the gospel. Through all of that cloudy, muddy, messed up water. They still keep coming. The way of Cain. These people staked all they had on the things they couldn't see. But on the things they knew God had promised. How you live in your life. And how... what is your hope based on? Really? I mean, are you living your life day by day for the things that God has promised? I don't know how to make it any clearer. I mean, are you living your life with the day of your death in view? Do you realize that one of these days it's going to be your last? Are you living your life so that you can arrive at that point and be glad for your life? Are you messing around and stumbling around and making foolish decisions and choices and living after the flesh instead of after the Spirit until you get to that day? We were talking about Dad's, one of Dad's friends that he worked with years ago, and he was he wasn't a very good guy. I mean, he was unfaithful to his wife, habitually. And I remember when my mom was dying, and he came to visit in the hospital, and how distraught he was. Because, I mean, and I don't know, I don't remember exactly what Dad said to him, but it was something on this order, Wade, this is why I never did the stuff you did. Because, you know, sin always does that to you. It traps you, boy.
Yeah.
It lies to you. Says this is going to be fun and it's going to be good and it's no harm and everybody does it and there's nothing to worry about.
Right.
And then just as soon as the net is dropped, you find out you have fell into the devil's snare. And the guilt and the darkness and the confusion just swamp your soul. For good. You living your life like these people live their lives? Are you willing like Abel? I mean, it's very possible that Abel knew what it could cost him by doing what he did. Obviously, there was division in the family about God and about what it meant to be redeemed and how to deal with sin and the life, in your life.
Yep.
They didn't base their faith upon circumstances. None of these people did. But on the Word of God. But some of them dwelt in caves and dens of the earth, and they were stoned and sawn asunder, but that didn't stop them from believing and walking with God by faith. And looking ahead to that day and staying faithful to God. They didn't quit. Because the true saint don't quit.
Right.
That's your security of the believer. A true saint perseveres. Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
I've been in Baptist church where they mocked enduring to the end. They laughed about it and said, ah, like you can just get saved. And they even teach... Gary said that some preacher he heard one time in a Baptist church said, you can throw away your Bible, go back to drinking, you can do whatever you want to. You're still going to heaven when you die.
Such a
blasphemous. That is the devil himself. You better not ever swallow such nonsense as that.
Right.
The hour I first believed, you know me, you want me to tell you how that works? I believed. And I've never stopped believing.
That's right.
How do you stop believing if you ever did really believe?
Right.
No easier than you can get unborn after you're born.
Right.
He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. They believed God, and just like Abraham, it was accounted unto them for righteousness. Why? Because they believed God. Why did God count them as righteous? What does that verse say we read in the beginning there? He obtained witness that he was righteous. You're not even supposed to say that now. We're all sinners. Ain't that the popular thing now? That you're supposed to brag about. I mean, it's proof of your humility if you just claim to be a sinner. Abel obtained witness. From who? God and the people who live. Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, I don't believe if he was a drinking and a being immoral and everything else that he would have had that testimony. Do you?
No,
not in that world or this one or any other world. So they believed God. And it was accounted to them for righteousness. They walked with God in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. And they shined as lights. Yes, they did. Now it's our turn. And it's our generation. And it's the same crooked and perverse world. And it's also the same good and faithful God.
Yes.
Don't forget that. Everything's the same. This is just a different generation, and it just happens to be the one we're in. Sometimes I think I wish I would have lived in another generation, but God didn't put me in another generation. He put me right here now. Same with you. Same with these children. They were born for this generation. By divine wisdom and appointment. Don't ever forget that. We're here on purpose because we belong here on purpose. And God put us here. And what are we supposed to do? Shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Maintain that testimony. Have that testimony that I believe God. And that I live to please God.
And
that I am nothing of myself. And the only thing about me is God. That's made any difference in anything. So it's still by faith that men must come to God. And it's still by faith in Him that they must live and that they must die. The way of Cain is still rejected. And Abel's sacrifice is still accepted. Don't misunderstand about Abel's sacrifice. That sacrifice spoke of what was in Abel's heart and mind. What he understood, what he believed about God, and what he believed about himself. That sacrifice, the fat, the lamb.
Yep.
He knew. He knew what it cost for God's forgiveness for him.
Yes.
He knew what he was in the sight of God. He didn't bring something he'd done with his hands and say, look, Lord, what I've done and I brought to give it to you. Everybody watching? That's the way it happens.
That's right.
The way of Cain, they don't do it in secret. They don't give in secret. They do it openly so that they can have the praise of men. Jesus talked about it on and on.
Yep.
They pray in public so they can hear the praise of men. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God.
That's right.
And that's what it's aimed at, is building up self. When real faith and real salvation is about the annihilation of self. You have to die before you can be resurrected. Isn't that what salvation is? It's a death, burial, and resurrection. Not just of Christ, of us. That's what we signify by being baptized.
Yes, sir.
The old man's dead. Buried. And I'm risen again. A new man. To walk with Christ. A new creation. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us?
Yes,
to answer of a good conscience toward God. Yes. So remember, how are you going to come to God? How are you going to please God? Faith. That's it. Ain't no other way. You got to believe Him. You got to trust Him. You got to throw away everything you know. I've said to you so many times through the years that salvation and growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord is more about unlearning what you think you know than it is about learning something new about God. Because we come into it with all of our opinions, Gary, and all of our false concepts that we've gathered through our life. And all that's got to go in the trash dumpster. And we got to come to God with nothing. Cain did not come that way. Cain came to God full of himself. Abel came to God emptied of himself. That's saving faith. And then you live that same way. He must increase and I must decrease. That's the way of life for a Christian. The way of Cain is I must increase and he must decrease. Which way did you try to enter in?
Right.
Have you come in the right gate? Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Anybody else try to enter in any other way into the sheepfold? Same as a thief and a robber. That's what Cain was. Trying to enter in some other way. Trying to just... And woe unto the shepherds and the sheep who will let him in some other way. Amen. All right, bow with me. I hope you have come to God the way that Abel did. I mean, it's interesting in this chapter of faith. There's your first mention of somebody who came to God with an acceptable sacrifice. what about that? Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God wants you. He don't want your stuff. He don't want your money. He don't need that. If He gets you, He's got all that you got anyway. That's what Jesus told that rich young ruler. He said, if you really want to follow me, go sell everything you got, give it to the poor, and come follow me. You have riches in heaven. No, he wanted riches on earth. He went away sorrowful. And that's the way a lot of people do. This is humiliating to come to Jesus with nothing but our guilt and our disastrous life and our messed up mind. But that's the way you got to come. Just remember that. And if you come that way, and you enter in that way, you'll live that way. You won't get up from there right after you're born again and start living a life of pride and selfishness. It just ain't going to happen that way. No, sir. No, sir. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for the truth. And Lord, I wish I could have done a better job getting these thoughts across. But I pray that the Holy Spirit of God, you'd fill in the gaps and connect the right places here in the thoughts so that everybody can get a hold of this. So important. It's the difference between heaven and hell. It's the difference between the new birth and eternal death. Lord, help us. Help us to understand this and to apply it in our lives. And I pray if there's somebody here that's not ever really came through the door the right way, pray you'd deal with their hearts and they'd realize it.
And even if they've been sitting in church for years thinking they're saved, I pray they'd realize the truth about themselves and that they would get honest with you and come to you and give their heart, life, stock and barrel to you. Give up on themselves. Throw away the reins of their life. Give them to you. And submit themselves to God. Please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what it's about. Submitting to God. Not my will, but thine be done. You think that would change our lives a little more than what we see if we really did that? Amen. The way of Cain and Abel's sacrifice. That's what we talk about. Abel's sacrifice. Amen.